Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
Good morning. Please be seated. In our first case today, 2022-1020, In re CC, a minor. On behalf of the appellant, Ms. Barthol. Good morning.
Good morning, Chief Justice Kennedy. May it please the court. Britta Barthol with the public Cuyahoga County Public Defender's Office, along with John Martin. I would like to reserve 5 minutes for a rebuttal, which will be handled by Mr. Martin. An order of continuance granted other than upon the accused's own motion is not reasonable under the statute when it is open-ended and does not assure that the speedy trial time will resume as soon as the circumstances necessitating the continuance is over. And it is not a reasonable continuance by statute to continue a case for trial that has not yet been indicted when it is not known whether a jury trial will be requested. This is a unique case as it involves a speedy trial issue in a juvenile matter. CC was 13 years old when the complaint lodged against him in the juvenile court contained a request for a serious youth offender dispositional sentence. An SYO request entitles a child to certain guarantees not otherwise provided for in the juvenile system. These include the right to indictment, the right to bail, the right to a speedy trial, and the right to a jury trial. Although the original complaint requested an SYO dispositional sentence, which started the speedy trial time, the prosecutor did nothing for 9 months, which deprived CC of a timely indictment, which also denied him a speedy trial. And CC was not in a position to assert his right to a speedy trial. At the heart of this case is the trial court's March 15, 2021 order, which continued the matter to a future date without setting a date. The order told the time between the prior journal.
Let me ask this. You mentioned the case is unique and COVID's kind of passe at this point a little bit. Should we IA this case and just say it's so unique, the situations are gone, it doesn't have general or public interest?
No, in the sense that this entry had no specific date. And so there's a possibility that there may be some other situation that arises, that a future date is not reasonable. There has to be a date certain within that entry.
If it was certain that there would be a jury trial, would you be here?
Yes, if we were certain that there was a jury trial, request?
No, let me turn that around. Well, you said that, from what I'm looking at in COVID, the order dealt with jury cases, with jury trials. If you had known, I'll turn it the other way. If you had known this would be a trial to the bench, would you be here?
Yes, because the speedy trial time had expired.
Before
the actual indictment took place.
Okay, thank you.
And at the heart of this case is that March 15th order, which continued that case to a future date without setting a date, and it also told the date until any future trial date, although that trial date wasn't set. There were no other hearings scheduled to ensure that a trial date would be set in the future, nor did the court hold any future pretrial to monitor when jury trials could be resumed, even though at that March 15th hearing, the juvenile court was aware that the Cuyahoga County Court of Common Pleas General Division order of February 10th resumed jury trials April 26th. And there was no intervening order to delay jury trials further. It wasn't until June 2nd of 2021, a second visiting judge, recognizing that there was no activity on this case, sua sponte, set the matter for a preliminary hearing. Now, a day prior to that, on June 15th, CC was indicted as an SYO in the Cuyahoga County Court of Common Pleas. When the parties returned on June 16th for that anticipated preliminary hearing, recognizing that he had been indicted, the case was continued for an arraignment on that. Also, the trial attorney, the defense attorney, had made an oral motion to dismiss the indictment due to that speedy trial violation. There was a hearing held on June 28th, and following that hearing on July 1st,
in any of those hearings, was jury trial mentioned?
I'm sorry?
In any of these hearings, was a jury trial mentioned?
If his request for a jury trial, I believe the entries indicate that he would not waive speedy trial, he would not waive a jury trial. But he had yet to be indicted, and so he was unable to waive a jury trial when he had yet to be indicted. This was still in the pre-indictment stage.
I understand, but was there discussion about a jury trial?
The journal entries reflect that. At the motion to dismiss, I don't recall if they specifically talked about a jury trial. In the entries do reflect that he did not waive speedy trial, and he did not waive his right to a jury trial.
Is it fair to say that everyone contemplated that this was headed to a jury trial?
No, because he had yet to be indicted.
Well, I understand that, but that really wasn't my question, right?
I would submit that he was unable to decide whether or not he was going to waive a jury trial until he was actually indicted. At that time, he was unaware of what those actual charges would be once he was indicted. So he could not make a knowing voluntary waiver to an indictment that had yet to happen.
But on January 5th of 2021, at the hearing, at the arraignment hearing, he did express that he did not want to waive his right to a jury trial or his right to a speedy trial. So there was an inference that he was expecting a jury trial, correct?
At that time, he had yet to be indicted. And again, I submit that he could not make a knowing and voluntary waiver of something that had yet to happen.
But the indictment really wasn't what precipitated the SYO. It was actually part of the complaint. And then at a later point in time, when the visiting judge came on board, that's when the prosecutor elected to go forward with an indictment, because it doesn't require all four of those things to happen. The prosecutor can choose any one of those. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. But once the SYO request is put into the initial complaint, that starts speedy trial. And so at that time, the clock starts. Now, whether they choose to have a preliminary hearing in juvenile court or they choose to present it to the grand jury for indictment, that's the prosecutor's decision, but they still have that time constraint, which starts when that initial request is placed in the complaint. They may choose to not go forward with this. This was a discretionary SYO. It was not a mandatory SYO.
But the prosecutor didn't proceed in the first instance with an indictment, and it really was precipitated by what the second judge did on the case, correct?
Correct. So the second judge, who came aboard, I believe, late May, had the, on June 2nd, recognizing that there had been no activity on this case, no indictment, no preliminary hearing, he sua sponte set the matter for a preliminary hearing. And rather than have the preliminary hearing, the state chose to seek an indictment, which
they
did.
So the preliminary hearing was scheduled for June 16th. And then one day before the hearing, the grand jury indicted your client as an SYO on June 15th, correct?
Correct. But I would submit that there was no administrative order which prevented the prosecutor from presenting this case to the grand jury for indictment. And that's what could have happened. That's what should have happened. And so the trial court, entry, was right when it reasoned that no actual delay occurred due to the pandemic orders and that CC's right to jury trial did not commence until he was indicted on June 15th. and that by failing to seek an SYO indictment, the prosecutor caused a delay in this case, not the administrative orders.
Except that notion wouldn't be in front of us if the second judge had not rejected the administrative suspension of jury trials between November 23rd and April 26th due to COVID, correct?
Well, he recognized that there was a speedy trial violation. He recognized that unless CC was indicted, he could not waive that jury trial.
So he, after CC was arrested, the state had to try CC within basically 187 days after he was arrested, and you're arguing 272 days had passed, and the judge included that the indictment with the SYO specification should be dismissed, correct?
Correct. If there are no further questions, I'd like to reserve the remaining portion for rebuttal.
Thank you. On behalf of the state, Ms. Forshoni.
Good morning, Chief Justice Kennedy, and may it please the court. My name is Tasha Forshoni, joined by co-counsel Ben McNair. We represent appellee of the state of Ohio. The state is requesting that this honorable court affirm the well-reasoned judgment of the 8th District Court of Appeals, primarily for two reasons. First, courts were permitted to suspend jury trials to prevent the spread of the novel coronavirus, and they are permitted to do so consistent with speedy trial obligations. And second, whether or not CC was promptly indicted, speedy trial commenced. Either CC had a speedy trial right and thus a right to a jury trial, or he did not. If CC did not have a right to a jury trial, then there can be no speedy trial violation. I want to begin by clearing up a point in the record. CC argues in his briefing here today that the case was continued indefinitely without a trial date, but that's not really what happened. This pretrial that's at issue here happened on a Friday, March 15th. CC's counsel made the state aware that she would then go the following Monday to schedule a trial date, and we know from the record that's exactly what happened. The juvenile court record at docket items 128 through 141 reflects that the juvenile court sent out trial notices indicating the trial would begin June 28, 2021. This put trial counsel, CC's trial counsel, on notice that the time between that pretrial date, the journal entry, March 16th, and the time between the day before the next trial date, June 27th, would be told.
I'm sorry. March 16th was the date of the continuance, and what date did the notice go out on the trial date?
May 18th, Your Honor.
So there's a 2-month gap in there. Is that?
Yes. So on May 18th, notices went out that the trial would begin on June 28th.
Okay, but you said that the attorney went and scheduled it on the following Monday after the hearing?
Yes.
And was there a date set at that point?
We're deducing from the record that the trial date was set for June 28th at that time, because the notices went out on May 18th.
Okay, I'm confused. So March 16th was the was the continuous date, is that right?
I'm saying May, yes, May. Go ahead, I'm sorry. I was getting March and May confused. So March 16th pretrial, dates go out May 18th.
But the trial date was set on March 19th or something? Is that what you're saying?
I believe it was set on May 18th.
Okay, so let's roll this back.
Sure.
So March 16th is a pretrial date?
Yes.
May, which day?
The docket reflects that on May 18th, notices went out to counsel and parties that the trial would be scheduled for June 28th.
Okay.
And they allotted, I think, 4 days for the trial.
Was the visiting judge on the case by this time?
What happened, there were two visiting judges on this case, and they were doing rotations, so they would spend 2 weeks at a time, I believe. So the March 16th order had one visiting judge, and then the later hearings and the dismissal is a second visiting judge.
So which judge issued the May 18th order for the June 28th trial date?
That would be the second visiting judge.
Okay, the one that called the hearing on the 16th? Same one, correct?
March 16th hearing.
I'm sorry, June 16th.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
The entry, so going back to the March 16th entry, that entry put counsel on notice that time would be told from March 16th until June 27th. That specific language is in that March 16th entry, and that language was not arbitrarily chosen. That language tracks the language in a number of administrative orders that are coming out of the General Division. These orders and their tolling provisions are reasonable because, number one, at the time of these orders, there are numerous orders in the record, but at the time of these orders, COVID-19 cases remained high, placing Cuyahoga County in the red alert, meaning that there was high exposure and spread, and there was an advisement to limit activities as much as possible. In these entries, the administrative judge of the General Division relied upon a letter, an October 2020 letter sent from former Chief Justice O'Connor saying that, to paraphrase, that the health and safety of employees and people coming into courtrooms should be the highest priority, and that given an upward trajectory in cases, suspending jury trials was, quote unquote, a smart move. This was consistent with all of the prior guidance that we had since then, that being the Attorney General's opinion and the disqualification orders in In re Paris and In re Flegel. The state followed these orders, the parties followed these orders, the first visiting judge followed these orders. We all relied upon guidance from the Attorney General, guidance from this court, guidance from our juvenile court, and guidance from our administrative judge. We followed this to a T. Despite following everything and doing exactly what we were told to do, our indictment was dismissed. And the 8th District Court of Appeals called this a miscarriage of justice. Therein lies one of the most unique things about this case is that the second visiting judge was able to reconsider the judgment of the first visiting judge, essentially reconsider whether that March 16th specific tolling order was appropriate, and also reconsider whether the administrative orders themselves were appropriate. And that just simply shouldn't have been done.
Why?
It was unfair to the parties.
Why?
One, because we relied upon them, and we go through this case from beginning to end thinking and planning our dates, knowing that jury trials are suspended. Jury trials are actually suspended in Cuyahoga County from November 28th until April 26th. So during that time, we couldn't have tried this case even if we wanted to. And we keep that into consideration in what cases we're sending to the grand jury, and what cases we're asking for a preliminary hearing on, and what cases are going forward. Everything we do during this time period has to be planned out and has to be prioritized in a certain way. So for a judge to come back later and say, I don't agree with that, it severely prejudiced the state. There are a couple things in the trial court's dismissal order that are concerning. The first thing is that the trial court's dismissal seems to indicate that grand jury was not affected by the pandemic, and we know that's not true. At the time CC was arrested, this is in September of 2020, our grand jury had a backlog of 2,000 cases, and that is because going back to March 2020, we were not operating in a full grand jury that entire time.
Can we find this anywhere in the record?
Admittedly, that fact is not in the record, Your Honor. The state does cite to a case from the 8th District, and that's Tuttle, and that is a case where the 8th District notes the extraordinary impact on our grand jury system and the fact that we had to prioritize cases and use a matrix system for the grand jury so that all cases couldn't go through the grand jury. That's the best place to find that in the record. The second issue in the dismissal order is the finding that speedy trial was not told between September 22nd, 2020 and March 15th, 2020. We know that's not the case because, as I stated, we couldn't have jury trials during most, if not all, of that time period. These were ongoing administrative orders suspending jury trials, that being the time between November 28th, 2020 up until March 15th, 2020. All jury trials were suspended during that time. We could not have brought CC to trial within that time, even if we wanted to. That leads to the finding in this case that is curious. The trial court was able to make this finding because he didn't think that CC had a right to a jury trial, so he didn't think that the pandemic orders applied to him. And that doesn't make sense. If we're gonna say that speedy trial commences at the time of the filing of a complaint with an SYO, which we agree because that's what the statute says, then we have to apply all the speedy trial statutes that come along with it, and then that includes the tolling periods. CC wants to have a right to a speedy trial, but he doesn't want to be subject to the tolling periods within the statute, and there's no legal policy or rational reason to do that. If CC had a right to a speedy trial, he had a right to a jury trial, that meant that he was also subject to the tolling orders within the statute, and there's no reason not to do that. Beyond that, there were some questions about whether CC actually wanted a bench trial or a jury trial. The record reflects that from the very outset of this case, that CC was expecting a jury trial and not a bench trial. That's in the journal entries where CC is stating he is both not waiving his right to a speedy trial and not waiving the right to a jury trial. The journal entries are very specific in nature in using that language. So CC's argument that if he could have been indicted sooner, he would have elected to have a bench trial is not supported by the record. At the end of the day, CC did have a right to a speedy trial, but the tolling provisions applied to his case. And throughout most, if not all, of the pendency of this case, the state was unable to have jury trials because they were suspended in Cuyahoga County. The Attorney General, this court, the juvenile court, and our administrative judge has told us that is a reasonable tolling period because it's necessary to protect the health and safety of people who work in the court buildings, defendants, and the public who come in and out of our buildings. For that reason, this continuance was reasonable, and if there are no further questions, the state would ask this court to affirm the judgment of the 8th District. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Martin, 4 minutes, 34 seconds.
Good morning, Chief Justice Kennedy. May it please the court, John Martin. I want to go first to Justice Fischer's question about whether or not this case should be IA'd, and the answer is no. In this particular case, the continuance linked back to COVID. But if a judge had sat there on March 15th and said, I'm jammed up, I have a 6-week capital case coming up, and I'm not going to be able to hold a jury trial during the next 6 weeks, it would be the exact same legal issue as the one that's posited here. A judge is unavailable to hold a jury trial. And so the impact of this case goes to every case in the state of Ohio where there's a speedy trial right. and where a judge could be in a position to need a continuance because of the unavailability of a jury. Whether it's because of the judge's schedule, whether because there's a flood in the courthouse, you name it, there can be a reason. So let's move then to Justice DeWine's question about did everyone contemplate a jury trial? And the answer legally is no, because there is no right to a jury trial until there is an indictment. And there, the first time that a person can make the critical decision of whether to waive jury comes at the arraignment on the indictment. Up until then, the only thing my client can do is not waive a right to a trial by jury. And in light of the fact that he still doesn't know whether the indictment that's coming down is going to be for ag murder, for felonious assault, what the date of the offense is going to be on there, there is no way that my client could have made a knowing, intelligent, and voluntary waiver of a right to jury trial until he sees the charging document on which the trial would take place. Move to Justice Bruner's question. What if there had been, and I'm going to extrapolate on Your Honor's question, what if there had already been a jury demand made? Then would we still be here? Yes, because juries resumed on April 26th. That's the operative date. But instead, we have an open-ended continuance that's granted on March 15th that says, I'll get back to you, and until we have trial, all time is stopped. According to that order, if trial gets set for tomorrow, we are still on dead time because the judge said all time is stopped. And the key there then becomes, and the critical issue that becomes part of not just this case, but every speedy trial case, is one word. If I can leave this court with but one word, that word is reasonable. Reasonable continuances are what 2945.72 requires. Reasonable is not John Martin's word. That's the General Assembly's word. And this court has made it abundantly clear, not just in speedy trial cases, but in every type of case, that it will treat with value every single word in a statute. And unless you're willing to accept the state's invitation to discard that tried and true principle, then you have to look at this and say, this was not reasonable. The state talks about something not in the record, a backlog in the grand jury. We're talking here about aggravated murder and a charge on a 13-year-old. I'm sorry if an F5 drug is going to have to take a second seat in order to get to a murder case. But to sit there and say, unfounded by the record, that that was the problem should be rejected. At the end of the day, the state says, we all relied. The 8th District used that same line. We all relied. Respectfully, there is no we here. We did not have access to the grand jury. We did not control the charging document. We sat with our hands tied because there's nothing we can do pre-indictment but wait, and our protection lies in a speedy trial statute that they ignored because while our hands were tied, they sat on theirs.
Thank you.
That's not reasonable. Thank you.
We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll receive a decision from the court.